This is Laity Sunday, and my name is Elsa Mortensen, and the pastor graciously has asked me to preach in the middle of the busiest retail time of the year, which I'm involved in, but that's okay. Okay, well, I remember 10 years ago when I was just a little child. Why are you all laughing? Okay, this was usually known as Low Sunday, because all the people who came out for Christmas either went home or they didn't come to church this day. They took a break. And that's kind of a little bit wrong in a way, because we've just heard an amazing story, which if you were here, you heard the pastor tell on Christmas Eve about a special baby being born in Bethlehem, an amazing event. Theologians will say it probably didn't happen in December, but logistics really doesn't matter that much as knowing that this was a special baby who was born. And if anything, we should be so excited from hearing this story that we want to just hear more about it. We want to come out. We want to just go out there, and as the choir said and the kids said, go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it in Piscataway, Middlesex, South Plainfield, all across the nation. Go tell it on the mountain. This special baby has been born who will not only change our lives, but change the world. This baby who took on, later as we heard in the cantata, our sins and died for us. So I'm going to preach a little bit on Luke today. So let's take a little closer look at some of the surprises in Luke. The first one was Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had a child in their much older years. Then there's Mary, who had Jesus as a virgin. But hold on one second. I feel like I'm standing on the edge of this thing. Okay, and let's not forget about the shepherds. These lowly shepherds whose lives would change that night and would never be the same, as a choir of angels came down and led them to Jesus' birth. Now, as a pastor mentioned Tuesday, we have a tendency to romanticize these men who sat through the night on the hills to guard their sheep. But people back then, they really didn't care for shepherds. Shepherds were not trusted. They were considered dishonest and unreliable. And because they cared for the sheep, they were usually very unclean. So no one really mixed with them, and they were kind of glad that they went off in the hills with the sheep and stayed by themselves. No one respected them. Most people were glad that they weren't around them. But yet, if you read the gospel, it kind of implies, as we understand it, that these social outcasts were the first to hear of Jesus' birth. Years later, you do hear of Jesus as he sits in Levi's home enjoying dinner with a large group of people all rejected by society. Chief among the outsiders were at that meal were the tax collectors. They taxed the good Jews and gave money to the Romans' occupying force. That is, except what they pocketed to make themselves wealthy. Kind of sound a little familiar to today, just saying. Everyone hated him. A man of God would never associate with tax collectors. But that evening, Jesus, there he was. He was at the tax collector's dinner party enjoying a meal. Pharisees made no secret. They were not happy with this scene. But Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Jesus' ministry was always directed to the people that society rejected, those who others looked down on, those with a deep need not met by ordinary religion. The ministry didn't wait to start some 30 years later. That ministry started the day Jesus was born, a birth that was predicted, forecasted many years ago in Micah, about 700 years before. Now, have you guys ever been to you've been to a movie, right? Some kind of movie, sometimes a thriller, scary movie, something like, what's that thing called, Star Wars?
Yeah.
Star Wars. Well, if you've ever gone to a scary movie, everybody knows. They've seen the trailers. They've read about it. They know what the movie's about before they go in. But when that scene comes, like something in Jaws, you know, that ba-dum, 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 everybody jumps up like they've they don't know what's coming. And that's crazy, because they knew when the real bad guy would come out in the story, when the shark would suddenly peer out of the water. But here's the odd thing. They knew this was coming, unlike the shepherds. Here are the shepherds out on a field, doing what they do night after night, tending the sheep, protecting them, and all of a sudden the whole sky lights up. And an angel appears, because not for one second of a million years could the shepherds have been expecting that. The worst they probably figured they would have seen is maybe a sheep straying off, maybe some kind of predator trying to attack the sheep. But definitely nothing was more dramatic than that night in Bethlehem on that hillside. An angel of the Lord had appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, although the angel told them not to fear not. Now God has a place, a special place in his heart for shepherds. You think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were all shepherds. Even King David was called away from tending his sheep to shepherd God's people. David said, "I am the good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep." This is really what Jesus asks of you. Jesus is the ultimate shepherd who protects you, watches over you. So when the good shepherd calls you, just in these other shepherds I mentioned, he wants you to be a shepherd also. Yeah, okay, he's not asking you to pastor a church. Maybe he's asking you to be a Sunday school teacher, help with fish or ushering or music or angel tree. Maybe not even in a group. Maybe he's asking you to shepherd one-on-one. This is God's simple message of salvation. It's really simple. A Messiah born as a baby in a humble setting. Not in a palace with all fancy kinds of wraps and servants. Not as a king on a white horse. But an infant in a manger in a human form. Nothing could be more simple or profound. This child, as I mentioned, would later go on to bear our sins on a cross, as sung in the cantata. A simple message for simple people. Need further proof? Check out a story about 12 disciples. They were ordinary people, making a living as either a tax collector, a politician, a fisherman, a treasurer, a tent maker. And yet, they went on to follow Jesus as shepherds. Consider this. God could have called the scribes or the Pharisees. He could have chosen kings or princes to deliver this message. But he chose the shepherds to be the first to know of the Savior's birth. The simple shepherds who were just doing what they did every night, going about their jobs, attending to their sheep. Remember, as a pastor pointed out Christmas Eve, shepherds, they were a job at the bottom of the totem pole, kind of like maybe your first job out of high school. Because as one story says, the simple truth of the manger might be too simple for the sophisticated, but all we need to do is open our hearts, open our minds to see, hear, and understand what was about to happen. These lowly shepherds, they weren't leadership material, but God chose them. God's love in Christ was extended to them. Don't miss this message because it's so simple. Sometimes the solutions to life problems are more simple than we think. Through our world of challenges and individually, God gave us a simple solution in the birth of a Savior. Let me tell you a story real quick about a simple solution. There's a story of a man. He was suffering with ringing in his ears, bulging eyes, and a flushed face. It just was driving him crazy, so he went to doctor after doctor. One looked at him and said, "Oh, it's your tonsils. We're going to take your tonsils out." Took them out. That didn't help. Next doctor said, "Oh, it's definitely your appendix. We're going to take out your appendix." That didn't work either. The next one took out a couple of teeth. Finally, the last doctor he went to said, "Oh, I'm going to have to guess. Is this something we haven't seen? It seems to be fatal. I'm not sure how long you have. The man said, you know, I'll just go buy myself a new suit. He went to the tailor. The tailor measured him, wrote down his sizes. He peered at it. He said, oh, no, you got the wrong size. My next size is 15, not 16. Tailor said, no, it's 16. No, I'm telling you, it's a 15. Measure again. Tailor did. Said, 16. He said, no, 15. He said, okay, fine. I'll make it a 15, but don't come back here complaining of ringing ears, bulging eyes, and a flushed face. It was a simple solution. This is God's Christmas message to us. So simple. The Savior whose birth we celebrate, named Jesus, would one day save us from our sins. The Christmas story, as told by Luke, the lowly shepherds is chosen by God to be among the first to see the Savior's birth. God's simple solution for man's complex problems in a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Have you given up your pride and come to the Savior who did it all for you? Only those who are simple enough to accept this gift will see the salvation of God. Just as Bob Crane, you see the crane outside the window, did in Ebenezer Scrooge. I had to fit that in there somewhere. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the best gift we could have ever hoped for in Jesus Christ, a gift that keeps on giving, one we can depend on for all the days of our lives, and one we want to share because we are so proud to be part of Christ's family that we want to bring others into the fold. We want to just go tell it on the mountains, through the world, through the nations, that Jesus Christ is born and will live forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.